Lord, I just thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, you're here. And if you're here, then it means anything is able to happen. Lord, I pray just for our hearts to be focused, Lord, our minds to just be engaged with you. I really have a sense that the Lord just wants to continue to touch our hearts, really wants to just continue to heal us and mend us and make all things well. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, that we can be new creations if we're not already. And if we are, then he's made all things well. He's made all things good. Lord, I thank you that the past is behind us if we know you, and the future's here and the future's in front of us. But thank you, Jesus, that you're inside of us, and that's incredible. And so, Lord, I pray from the outset, Lord, that we're hearing from you. But if we don't know you, Lord, then in these moments that something's going to shift and something's going to change, and we're going to come to the altar, and we're going to receive Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Wow. And he's going to transform and change us. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you just continue to move tonight, Lord. Continue to speak this. Continue to help me, but continue to help all of us, Lord. Minister to us, Lord. Uphold us and lift us and guide us tonight. In your precious name, amen. Amen. So we are, so I'm back again. If you were here earlier, then you've seen me already. If you haven't, then you're seeing me for the first time. So, but for me, it feels like deja vu. But I think you look nicer than the first guys. Is that okay to say that? Only joking. I told a really bad lie there. Just ban me on that moment. No, it's really good to be here. We've come all the way from Northern Ireland. We said it in the first part. It's a really, really long way. It took us about 14, 15 hours to get here. But it was only 1 hour of a time difference. So we were tired, but weren't really jet lagged. But we feel like just the last couple of days, we're starting to really get into the swing of things. And we just kind of a real honor and a real privilege to be here. We were here in 2010, 2011. It was amazing. We just had such a great time. Worms took us away to the Philippines 3 years in a row after that. And then we went to Greece last year with the refugees. And that was an incredible week with them. We were actually meant to come to South Africa last year. And then just a month or two before we were meant to come, we just really felt that God had said, go and help the refugees. Not that we can really do that much, but we can definitely do something. And we went there. And I'm telling you, we saw people saved every day. Every day people saved refugees from the Middle East. You mean, we started to forget. I don't know what it's like in South Africa, but the UK press, where we're from, it's very much, maybe not against the Muslims, but makes it very clear that Muslims are anti this and anti that, and we've got to be mindful of this and mindful of that. And you know, the weird thing is when we got there, we forgot that they were Muslims and we just saw them as people, as the way we should do. And so many people came to know Jesus. So many people got healed. We saw people getting out of wheelchairs. It was incredible. We just could not believe it. We were like, wow, this really does happen. Like, the book of Acts is real. And it blew us away. So I want to encourage you tonight. Believe for more than you've ever believed before in the past. Believe for more today. Because God is doing incredible things. It's an incredible time to be alive. The best is yet to come. So if you're looking to the future, be excited. God has got good things in store. But if you're in the present, hopefully where we are tonight, then God wants to do great things here tonight. We are from Northern Ireland, as said already. Our name is Vibe. We planted the church about 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago. It stands for Vision, Integrity, Boldness, and Evangelism. It was a name that God gave us right back in the start in 2006 when we were just a bunch of young adults. And then out of that, God just planted a church and birthed a church. And just over this last few months, we've seen incredible growth. We were probably 50 or 60 people in our town. Our town is a city because it's got two cathedrals, but really there's only 15,000 people. So it's not a very big city. But if you ever get a chance to come to Ireland, you'll realize we're not very big at all. We're small the whole way through. I think we went to Caelicha the other day, and there's as many people there as there is in all of Northern Ireland. So it's pretty crazy. So it gives you a bit of an idea. But over this last few months, God is so faithful. We had a lot of 20s and 30s, probably the kind of ages here tonight. That's kind of what we grew up with over this last couple of years. And then we said, God, you know, we really want to see families come, young families, older people, all. We want to just see it all the way right through. And over this last 2 or 3 months, God's been so faithful. I think we've probably doubled in size just over this last 2 or 3 months. It's been incredible. Went from 7 or 8 kids to about 30 kids, which is crazy. We saw God do incredible things, and we're really excited. We've seen miracle after miracle. I shared a tiny bit before, but with the building that we're in at the moment, it was an incredible building that God gave to us. We were able to pay for it in 6 weeks. It was a building that was valued for hundreds of thousands of pounds, and we got it for £45,000. We were able to work at it ourselves. So we have a building right in the center of our town, fully bought and paid for, and now we're trying to buy another one, you know, because we got greedy. No. We're just excited for more. We've seen God do so many good things. We just say, do it again, God. We're greedy for good things. Is that okay to say? So we're excited for that. And what we're believing, and I ask you to pray for us, we're believing for $175,000. Which is what we're going to buy the land for. We're after 5 weeks, we're over 60,000 now. But it's like fun. Every day we're checking the bank account, and every day there's more. It's been incredible. It's people like yourself only back home, and they're just giving what they can, giving what they can afford. It's been amazing. It's just been bit after bit after bit in the last 5 weeks, and God's been doing great things. So we're believing for 175, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. We need another million after that. But we're taking the small stages. But God has just incredibly blown our faith. And now we have, I mean, just to give you some context, our town, our city is where St. Patrick did all his stuff. It's a cathedral city of St. Patrick's town in 444. That's when he hung out and he did all his great stuff. And so 1,500 years later, we're there. And we're going to continue on doing great things. So our town has a lot of history. Our city has a lot of history. But as I said earlier in the last service, it's got a lot of religion. And what it really needs is a lot of relationship. It needs a lot of Jesus. It needs a lot of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to encourage us tonight. I want to encourage us in the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage us in our relationship with God. And I'm excited for the future. And here's just a word that God put in my heart just earlier. I just want to share it with you. That I have a beautiful wife with two kids, Jessica and Bethany. They're 4 and 5, and my wife's called Nikki. But I remember just a year or so before that, praying to God and saying, God, I really want you to give me the wife that's meant for me. I don't want to settle for anything else. And I just felt that God was saying, if that's a big concern for you in terms of a wife or a husband, that God already knows that. And that if we submit that to him, he's faithful and he's good to bring that through. I just want to encourage you on that. Because I just felt a sense of God on that, that maybe we're worrying about that, we have anxiety over that, or we're anxious about that, but God knows all of our needs. And we read it already, 4:19, he's able to supply all of our needs, according to his riches and glory. So amen to that. So we're going to have a look at some verses tonight. I want us to look at this one, Proverbs 3:5. I think we got it on the screen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. I mean, this is a verse that we know inside out, upside down, and yet we don't do it at all. We just don't do it at all. It's like a verse that we know so well, and yet we're constantly leaning on our own understanding, other people's understanding, and we're forgetting to trust in God. It's amazing how the simple things are the hardest things to do. I mean, sometimes if you said this, go and climb a mountain, go and climb Table Mountain, and you're going to be really close to God. We would do it because that sounds really heroic. But if we were just asked to follow that verse, it would be like, oh, can we move on? Can we just move on from that verse already? Because it seems too simple. And yet the things of God are so simple, maybe because we're simple people. In fact, the Bible says that we're sheep that's gone astray. And we've got a few sheep in Ireland, and they're pretty silly. And so I can say without a shadow of a doubt, us as Christians, we're definitely a bit like sheep. We're pretty silly sometimes. But we have a great shepherd who's come to lead us. He has come to lead us. And this is what he says tonight. Trust in the Lord. Trust in God with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. I mean, that is an incredible, incredible verse. And if we take it seriously, it transforms our whole life. It transforms everything. And yet I know for me, and I'll speak personally for just a moment, that I try to do so many things in my own strength. And then I wonder why I'm tired. I wonder why I'm frustrated. I wonder why I'm disheartened. I wonder why I can't do it. And God just, I think he's just got so much patience. I mean, love is kind, love is patient. It's what he's trying to do in us. He's trying to birth that kind of fruit in us. He's trying to grow that kind of fruit in us because he knows what we need. And so tonight I want to take a few moments and I want to remind us just how good God is to trust. He's so trustworthy and he's a God that we can trust. And the more that we trust him, the more we'll become like him and the more we'll be able to do the things he's called us to do. I love faith because faith comes as a gift from God. But I think trusting is when we work that faith out. And we say, okay, God, thank you for the faith, but now I've got to activate that. And my faith looks like trust. When I say, okay, God's called me to do this, I've got the faith for that, and so through faith, I'm going to do it. And the reality of that is I'm going to trust. I've got to trust. I've got to walk that path every day. I've got to pray that out. I've got to walk that out in front of people. And people are going to think you look silly at times. They thought that of Noah. They're going to think it of us. They think it of us at the moment. They're like, I mean, we come from a town where there's no church that's younger than, well, I'll not tell any more lies, but the majority of churches are hundreds and hundreds of years old in our time. Hundreds and hundreds. The cathedral is over 1,500 years old. It's ancient. And so we're like a whippersnapper of a church that's 2 years old. And now we're trying to buy another building. Everybody's like, would you just slow down? And we're like, no, because the kingdom of God is advancing. And we say it's our lifeboat. And so we've got one lifeboat. We want another one because we want to see more people saved. And our whole heart is this, is that people will come onto the lifeboat, they'll get saved, and then they'll say, put me to good use. And then they'll go onto the front lines, and they'll rescue more people. And we'll put them to good use, and we'll rescue and equip until we see the whole city saved, 15,000 people. And then we want to see Ireland saved. We want to see Northern Ireland saved. We want to see the UK saved. We want to see the world saved. I think that's what we all want to see happen. God said, my deepest desire is that all would come to know me. All would come to know me. And so for that to happen, we've all got to get busy. We've all got to get busy and get after that. We had a lovely prophetic picture just a few weeks ago. One of the guys was praying, and he said he saw our current building almost became, we call it a lifeboat, but he said it almost looked like a tugboat. You know, like a tugboat who pulls a bigger boat out into the sea? And I thought, wow, what a picture. He says, yeah, that building is now, it's now become too small. It's not fit for purpose in the fullest sense. So we've got to get ready for the next season. And it's going to be like a tugboat pulling the next big boat in. And I feel like God is saying that to us in our lives, is that we never finish, in a sense, until we get to heaven. Even when God's accomplished something through our lives and we've got the marriage that we wanted or we've got the kids that we want, there's always something more that God's moving us on to. And I feel tonight that don't allow yourself to get stuck in a rut or get stuck in a moment because it was the thing that you really, 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 really wanted. But realize that God's always calling us forward, and he's always asking us to trust again and to believe for the next thing. I know the hard part of trust is this. It's the fear part. It's like, what's people going to think? What's people going to say? When we were about to bid for the building that we're buying at the moment, that was the biggest thing I was worried about. People, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? And yet in our time, because everybody's hundreds of years old in terms of churches, we have no reputation anyway. But yet I was worrying about reputation. And for us as Christians, I just think we need to forget about reputation and just worry about this. We're fools for Christ, fools for Jesus. And I'll be a fool for him any day because he's incredible. He is absolutely incredible. So when I know the plans and purposes, I don't mind what comes against me because I know every single one of the objects that comes my way, he'll turn it around for his glory. Any weapon shall not prosper. Any attack that comes my way, it'll only encourage me to go up and to go over. It'll cause me to gain more speed, in actual fact. I mean, I don't know if you get a lot of snow here. We get a bit of snow. I'm only joking. I know you don't. But we get some snow. We don't get lots. But we get frost. And one of the things about frost and icy roads is there's no grip. So you can't go the places you want to go. And I think as Christians, sometimes we forget that we need grip on the road to help us to get to our destination. And yet at the time, it's like, God, why are you making this so difficult? Why are you making this so hard? But if I want to go top speed, I need grip on the road. I need something to hold my tires. I need something to propel me forward. And I want to encourage you tonight as you're trusting God, never let those difficult seasons be a time that causes you to dismay or distrust. Know that God's got a plan, and he's actually using it for his glory and for your glory. And he's changing you, and he's equipping you. So we're talking about trust tonight. Trust. What's the opposite of trust? The opposite of trust is distrust. I think our world is full of distrust. We've got so many people, we don't know who to trust or what to trust. And the reasons for that is because so many people have let us down. Even your wife, even your husband, they will let you down. Maybe too often, you say, but they will let you down. Friends, they're going to let you down because, unfortunately, we're just not perfect. We're just not perfect, and I'm going to do it, and you're going to do it to me. It's unfortunate. It's the way it goes, but I think what's happened is we've taken that, and we've carried it into our relationship with God, and so maybe subconsciously or maybe unwittingly, we've started to think, I wonder, would God ever let me down? I wonder, would my trust in him ever be broken? I wonder, do you ever get to a time when you know God's called you to do something and you're going through a bit of a dry spell? Maybe it's a dry season. Or you're going through a dark time. Or you're going through a time of sickness. Or you're going through a time of despair. Maybe someone's died in your family. Maybe there's been an awful diagnosis. Maybe your finances aren't what you thought they should be at this point. Maybe you thought at this point in your life you should have a lot more achieved. You should have a lot more achieved. And in those moments, you think to yourself, but where's God in this picture? And maybe it attacks our trust. And if it attacks our trust, as we said earlier, it then ultimately attacks our faith. And then before you know it, instead of standing on solid foundations, instead of standing on Christ, we're starting to build our house on the sandy foundation. And then any storm that comes, anything that comes our way, it's gonna knock us over. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel like, I just feel like I'm being knocked over. I feel like I'm just being tossed and turned. James 1 says, that just in the middle part of James 1, it says, do we want to have faith that we get tossed and turned by every wave? Or do we want to have faith that says, I'll stand no matter what? Because I know even in the difficult seasons, in actual fact, let's be really true. In the difficult seasons is the time when I grow the most. In the difficult seasons. I don't like it. I don't want to be there. It's not fun, but I'm growing the most in those times. And then when I get to the summit, I look back and go, wow, look at all that God has done for me. I cheated the last time I went to Table Mountain. I got the cable car. I cheated. I was like, I'm not walking this. I'm just cheating. And do you know what? The top was good. But for the guys who walked it, the top was even better. The top was far, far better. And I think, again, in our world, because everything's so instant, I mean, we just want to get our food faster than ever. I haven't got time to talk to you. Could you text it to me? You know, it's just, I haven't got a moment. Could you email it to me? We just don't have a lot of time because we feel that we have to live at this fast pace. And yet God knows all things. And you know what he tends to be? Quite slow. He tends to be quite slow. And trust me, he's not unintelligent. He knows everything. He knows everything. And yet he works at a different pace to us and it tests us. Because it brings us back to patience and long-suffering and bearing with one another. But I think those are the qualities that we need the most. Because I can text you in a heartbeat, but meet you tomorrow for an hour? No, I'm kind of busy, you know. I could give you a quick phone for a minute, but meet you for a week? Not going to happen. I just don't have the time. I'm too important. You know, I've got a busy schedule, don't you know? And God says, don't be so busy that you miss out on what's important in life, which are people. Because we are important. God says we're important, and our lives are important, and it's who you trust is really important. Because ultimately, who you trust is the way you're going to live your life. If you trust God, you're going to live your life for him. If you distrust God, you're going to live your life for yourself. And so God says tonight, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here's what it says in John 14:1-4. We want to read it together. Do not let your hearts be troubled. What a great word. Don't let your heart be troubled tonight. You say, well, that's easy to say, but what's the reality of that? You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is talking in this moment. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also will be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Incredible verses from John 14 of just the Lord just setting out why you can trust him. I mean, one of the most important things for trust to happen is for security. I've got to have a home. I've got to have security. I think one of the best things that we have is, and one of the best gifts that we have is our families and our homes. That is incredible. It breeds trust. It increases trust. It just enables us to be the people that we are. It's nothing worse than, and if you're here tonight and you've been through this background, then you know firsthand of what it's like if you don't have a solid foundation in terms of home and family. But the good news is God can give us that. God can give us that. Even if we haven't had that in our lives, God can supply all of that. We've read it already. We keep reminding ourselves of this. But here's the two things I want us to see tonight. Is that part, it's in verse 1 or verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. I love that the Lord uses that metaphor of a house. Because it just gives me confidence. It tells me of a place of security and future and peace. Somewhere where I can come home to, somewhere that I can rely upon, somewhere where I know it's always going to be there. So whenever I've had a tough day, I can come home to my home and I know I can rest. It's a place of rest and security. And God's here tonight and he's saying, hey, in this life you may have troubles, but take heart because I'm pointing you to something greater. And God says, if you trust in me, I'm pointing you to something greater, to a greater reality, to a greater eternity, to a greater thought, to a greater future, which is heaven. And so even in this life, if you do have troubles, be of good cheer because I've already overcome the world and you know the way and the way is Jesus because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, the good news is this, if you put your trust in me, put your trust in me, even if this world is full of distrust and insecurities, know this, that at the end, when we move on to the next for eternity, forever, we go to our Father's home. It's full of security. It's full of peace. There's a place for us. And I think that's why the Father puts in room, because I love a home, but whenever you're given a room, it truly becomes your home. You can come for a visit to my house, but you know that you're in when I give you a room. You know you're in when I give you a room. I'm like, hey, here's the keys for the front door, and here's a room. Make it your home. That's a different thing. That's a completely different thing, because I can invite you to my house, but at the end of it, if I don't like you, I'm going to say, go, see you later. I've got to go to bed. But if you're my special guest, then you know what? I'll actually, if I need to, I'll give up my room for you. I'll give up my room and I'll go take another one, because I want you to know that you're special. I want you to know that you're valued in this home. And God says tonight, I don't know what your home life has been like. I'm not sure what your family home life has been like. But God offers us not just a house, but a home with a room with the key. With the key. That's ours. And says, you've got this and you're with me. And no matter what happens, you can come home to this house. No matter what happens, you can come home to this room. And a room to me just speaks of, I've got my spot. I'm included. I'm part of this thing. I'm part of this family. And I want to encourage you tonight that God gives us every reason to trust him and absolutely no reason to distrust him. And again, through the scriptures, he's trying to show us, trust me, trust me, trust me, because that will be your strength. Without faith, it says, it's impossible to please him. But with faith, we can move mountains. With faith, we can do incredible things. And so when we know that we can trust God, we can do all things through him. I'm here to encourage your hearts that we can trust God. I want to read a story together, but before we do, I want to just challenge our hearts just for a moment. We're going to look at Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Love this story. Just want to share it with you tonight. But I want to question our hearts just for a moment. How is our trusting? You know, because that's what we're talking about. How is our trusting in God? And here's a few questions to put into our minds just as we're going forward. Is our belief system corrupted? In other words, are we thinking wrong thoughts that are not actually Jesus, they're just tradition? Or are there opinions? Are there someone else's thoughts? But they're not what the Bible says in terms of how we love people, in terms of how we accept people. Because ultimately, how you treat other people is a representation of how you feel God's treating you. It's just the way it works. So if you feel like they don't deserve, they don't deserve, they don't deserve, ultimately inside your heart, there's a part of you that says, I don't ultimately know that I deserve all of this, but I'm trying to trust God through it. And what God wants to do is set you free from those kind of things so that you can realize that everything's by grace. It's by grace through faith that you're saved. And that's the good news of Jesus tonight. And so maybe you're here tonight, and maybe your belief system has got a tiny bit twisted, and you're thinking wrong thoughts. But God says, I want to bring you back to a simple, truthful gospel that says you can trust in me with your whole heart. There's not a day that I don't know what's going to happen, says the Lord. There's not a day that I didn't know what you were going to face and what you were going to go through. There's not a moment that I haven't seen in your life, already seen what you're going to go through, and I've got a plan for that. Now, you may not see that at the moment, but trust me, because I've got a plan, and I'm going to do something through that. And the sad part could be is that we could get halfway through the story or halfway through the moment, and we could let another voice come and distract us. But we talked about sheep earlier, and it says, but my sheep know my voice, and no other voice will they follow. And I think we need to do that in our faith in terms of our trust. And we say, God, I have faith in you. You've given me faith, the gift of faith. I trust you. I choose not to follow any other voice, because there are millions and millions of other voices trying to distract us and get us. And unfortunately, the enemy will even use our friends' voices and even Christians' voices if he gets an opportunity to try to dismay us and pull us down. But if God has called you, then you know what to do. Keep trusting him. What about you're here tonight and you think, trusting, I've got the whole thing worked out. Trusting's easy for me. I could write the book on trusting. Well, maybe God might challenge you. He might just challenge you on that. Maybe you're weary or you're tired. Are you here tonight and I'm talking about trusting and you're just thinking, oh, I like that, but I'm just tired. You know, life has been tough. I'm weary because of the things I've been through. I'm weary because of this last week. Maybe you're here tonight and you just say, hey, I get what you're saying about trusting, but I really just want to run away. I just want to get away. And there's something inside of us that sounds good, because God says run the race, but he wants us to run the race after him. Not to run the race after him, or away from him, sorry. But sometimes we do that. We do that. And maybe we even encourage other people to do that. I want to remind us that's not the ways for us. Lean not on your own understanding, but totally trust God with your whole heart. And then finally, maybe you're here tonight and talk of trusting is great, but you're just done. You're ready to quit. You're ready to give up. And I'm not naive enough to think that couldn't be the case in this room. Because I've been at that place at times. And I'm sure if you're real and you wanted to be real tonight, you could say the same. But maybe you're right here at that moment where you say, yeah, I actually am. I hear what you're saying and I get what you're saying. But for me, what I've been through, I feel like I'm done. I feel like I want to quit. And tonight I want to encourage your heart and maybe, you know, CPR to bring you back to life again and remind you just of the goodness of God because he is faithful. So we're going to look at a story tonight, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 3, verse 15. I will give you one more chance to bow down. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are here, and he wants them to bow down in a foreign land. I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue from my power. What a hopeless situation it felt like that these guys were in. It was. It was truly, truly hopeless. But first thing tonight you got to know is no matter how hopeless it is, if you've got your hope in Jesus, it's never hopeless. It never, ever is. No matter the signs, no matter the storms, no matter the words, no matter the circumstances, if your hope is in Jesus, he's always got a plan. The storms obey him. The world obeys him. He spoke the life. He spoke the world into being in just a moment. You've got to trust his word. You've got to trust his life. And the first point that I want us to think about tonight, we're going to look at three quick points, is a place of no other choice. Or another way to say it, you don't understand, I have no other choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves in a foreign land with foreign food, with foreign cultures, with foreign thoughts, with foreign governments, with foreign kings. And they only worship the one true king, but the king said, you've got to bow down to me. And if you don't, or else. If you don't, there's no alternative. If you don't, you're dying. If you don't, you're dead. And maybe you're here tonight and you think to yourself, well, I want to trust God, but I find myself in an impossible place. I find myself in a place where I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to get out of this place. And God says, I work in those places where you've got no other choice because you've always got me. I love that verse. I can't remember the reference at the moment, but it says the New Testament, that he'll bring us through trials, but he only ever allows to go through what we can cope with. And he'll always give us a way out. He always gives us a way out. That is a God who is faithful. That is a God who has a plan. That's a God who's never caught short. That's a God who's never given us a reason to distrust him. And so tonight, if you're distrusting, God slowly just wants to take that out of our mindset and remind our heart and remind our head that he is a God that you can fully trust in. Verse 16 says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from the power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. What a position to be in. Every reason to doubt, every reason to give up, every reason to break their trust in God. And maybe we have found ourselves in this place of, it was like almost like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They could have got to a place and said, but God, we've served you. We went on missions for you. We went to a foreign land for you. And look where you've made us end up. We're going to lose our lives for you. God, is this for real? Is this your plans for our lives? And yet it says in Acts 1:8 that he's come to baptize us in the Holy Spirit that we could go and be witnesses to the end of the earth. But you know, if you look that word witnesses up, do you know what it actually defines itself as? Martyrs. Wow. God, I didn't sign up for that. I signed up for abundant life. I signed up for purposes and good stuff. I signed up for a wife and I signed up for kids and money and all that good stuff if you can give it to me. But I definitely didn't sign up for death. I definitely didn't sign up to be a martyr. And yet the New Testament says you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me. That's the greatest truth of the gospel. And whenever we surrender our lives, then suddenly we start to live in Christ. And I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they find themselves in a place of no compromise. And they said, we will not compromise. We will trust God no matter what. The king has come and he's threatening them and he's the highest authority in the land. You've got to realize this. Put yourself in their shoes for just a moment tonight. There is nobody else above this guy, only God, but he thinks he's the top. He thinks he's number one and what he says always goes. And yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're standing firm and they're standing tall. And they say, we will not give up. We will not run. We will not distrust. We will not give up. That is the hope that God wants to put into us. That is the trust that we can have in God. Here's what they said, second point, but even if he doesn't, I can't get my head around that, but even if he doesn't come through, even if he doesn't rescue us, we will not bow down because he's too good to give up on. He's too good to distrust. He's too good because even when we can't figure it out, we will not give up. Have you ever found yourself in a place of, it doesn't make any sense, I don't know why this is happening, I don't know why it's going on like this, but for whatever reason, I'm not going to distrust God, I'm not going to give up. Or maybe you've been on the other side of that, and God says, I want to bring you back to the place of, no matter what, but whatever happens, I'm going to trust you, Lord. And that's what God wants to put into our hearts tonight. And you could be in a season of everything's good, but I think God just wants to put some stuff into our hearts tonight that when the season's not so good, we've got something that we can stand firm on because we know his word in our hearts. We know it, and we can depend on it. I mean, it's okay kind of knowing God, but there's no substitute for really knowing him. There is none. Because whenever things do get tough, if you only know him and that's kind of small knowing, then you'll give up at the first sign of trouble. You'll go, wow, this isn't all it's cracked up to be, is it? I mean, where's all the goodness of God in this moment? You'll just give up. But whenever you know God's word and it's hidden in your heart and you know that there's no reason to distrust him, when everything's against you, you will say, but God's for me. Wow. That's a good word in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a storm. When everything's against you, you'll say, but doesn't matter because no matter what, God's going to, he's creating perseverance in me. Doesn't matter. No matter what, he's completing me. He's making me more like his image. Wow. In persecution, in rejection, be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world, the Lord says. So whenever it doesn't turn out the way we planned, but it doesn't matter because God is for me, who can be against me? That is the word of God. And I'm not sure if we're in the end days or the end days or the last of the last days, whatever that is. But I know one thing, times are always going to get tougher. They're always going to get harder. And maybe it just seems like that, but I believe that's true because the Bible says. And so we need to know who we believe. And we need to know who's for us. And we need to know that if he's for us, doesn't matter who's against me. I trust him with my whole heart. We will not serve anybody else, is what they said. We don't care what happens. We don't care what anybody else says. We don't care what takes place. We will not worship. We will not serve any other gods. We will not worship them. Wow. What a testimony in the midst of a trial. Now, I can give a great testimony afterwards, but what about being guys like that, faced with the furnace, faced with the flames? You can feel it. You can smell it. And it's hot. It said that they turned it up 7 times hotter because he was so cross. I mean, this is reality right now, and they refused to give up. What an incredible God we have. Then God changes everything. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to encourage you to read it in your own time. We're going to go to verse 24. Says this, then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and 3 under the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, see, a 4th man is walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th man looks a lot like the sons of God. Wow, wow. You see, in every storm, in every fire, in every furnace, Jesus is already there with us. He's already there. One of the best truths that we need to learn is that there's never a place that he hasn't been. There's never a place that he's already there. He knows where we're going to next. He knows the trials that we will face. He's already there. Even when it feels like he's not there, he's there. He's protecting you. If you read the story in between, you'll find out that even the guards that led the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the furnace, they died because it was so hot. They got so close to the fire, throwing the guys in, they died instantly. But here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're walking around in the furnace like it's a beach. They're walking around like it's just summer holidays. I mean, this is absurd. And they see a 4th man, and he's walking around, and he's unbound. He's unharmed. It looks a lot like Jesus to me. It looks a lot like Jesus. And for us tonight, you've got to realize the darkest place was hell, and Jesus went there. He went there. He set us free. When he went to Calvary and he died on the tree, I'm rhyming by accident. But when he went there and he died, he went to the depths. He defeated the sin. He defeated the devil. He defeated the enemy. And when he rose from the dead, everything was transformed. Everything. And in that picture, it's a picture of the gospel where Jesus goes right into the furnace and he rescues us right from the mouth, from the mouth of hell. He rescues us right from the fiery furnace and he takes us out and we're saved, we're rescued because he's that good. And the goodness of God is this. They come out of it and they don't even smell of flames. They don't even smell burned. There's not even a smell of smoke on their clothes because God is so good. And so you've went through some trials. Let me encourage you in this. You've went through some trials. You went through some hurts. You've went through some pains. And you thought to yourself, I'll never be the same again. I'll never be fully right again. I'll never be fully recovered. I tell you, I've learned this. The devil hits you so much. He hits you with his whole heart. And if he gets you down, he's going to put you, his foot on your neck is the best way I can describe it. And he's going to try to kill you. He's going to absolutely try to kill you. But what I've seen is this, is God's so good, he can rescue you even from that. What I've seen is that even as Christians, when we go the opposite way and we do silly things or maybe circumstances change against us and the worst of the worst things happen and you think you'll never be the same, God is an incredible rescue plan. He's got an incredible rescue plan. And when you should be smelling of the fire and when you should have smoke damage on you, instead you're going to have sweet perfume because Jesus is the fragrance of heaven. And the fragrance of heaven lives inside of you. And the fragrance of heaven, it just comes from you. The presence of God is all over you. And he's a restorer of the broken. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. He is a restorer of the broken. He's the lifter of heads. And the Bible says that he'll restore all that the locust has taken. And this time will be greater than the last time. And God is here tonight to raise up your hope because not only is he a God that you can trust, he's a God that will bring you back from the brink and he'll say, I'll save you, I'll set you free, I'll bring you from the bottom and I'll rescue you and I'll put you on a firm foundation. God is here tonight and he loves you. He absolutely loves you. It was a place that they had never been, but it's a place that Jesus had been to. Verse 26 says, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here. I mean, this is incredible. Think of this scene for a moment. Before Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm the king. There's only me. There's no other gods before me. And now he references the God of the universe, the Most High God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, and the governments, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They couldn't believe what had just happened. They saw that the fire had no harm on their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of them of fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent this angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. What an incredible, incredible testimony. And yet the truth is this, and this is just to be really real, is that I know in my own life, there's times when I face obstacles and I face seasons in my life and I say that I've just got no other choice. I've just got no other choice. I'm going to have to do it this way. I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to do it this way. And if there's one thing I can encourage you with tonight is this, is that trust God no matter what. He will make a way even in a furnace. This was a literal furnace. This was not a metaphor. This was a literal furnace. It happened. And they came out. Not even a hair on their head was singed. There was no smoke damage on them. Nothing took place that should have taken place. This makes no sense whatsoever. Trust God all the way through in your dark seasons. It will make no sense whatsoever. You'll see no reason how you could see God's hand in this. You'll see no reason why God could bring you through in this. You'll see no reason how he could do it. You'll not even figure it out logically because we don't even have the capacity to do it. But God says, I'll make a way where there is no way. Even in the dry places, I'll make springs pop up. I'll turn the dry places into rivers. I'll take the places that are too wet and I'll make them dry. I'll do incredible things. We spoke earlier about when Elijah looked out and he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, and that's enough for me to believe for a storm. That's enough for me to believe for a storm. And so maybe you're here tonight and you say, hey, I just see a tiny bit of hope. It's right on the horizon. I see a tiny bit of hope. Everything inside of me says give up. Everything inside of me says move on. But God says, trust me with your very last. And even if we don't make it, doesn't matter. We live for eternity with Christ because our death is gain. Now, we don't want to think like that, but that's the truth. There is no sting in death for us as believers. There is no sting in death. There may be sadness because we miss friends, but there's no sting because they go to be with the one that they love, and we'll see them soon. We'll see them soon as believers and co-heirs with Christ. We go to be with him. What a picture of new life in that story. Place of death, they were all doomed, but they trusted God. He comes in the furnace and he rescues them. In every situation, he comes to do that in their lives. From death to life, no smell of death, just resurrection life on them. No smell of death, just resurrection life. And maybe if we need to do anything at all, whenever we're in those difficult seasons, maybe we just need a smell. Maybe we just need to stand still and feel and smell and sense the presence of God that's all over us. Because in those moments, our minds may fail us, but our heart knows a different story. Our heart knows a different story because our hearts have been transformed. Our hearts have been made new. And the thing that we're constantly trying to work on is our minds, because our minds are slow and they get in the way and they constantly have to catch up with the reality of God that's already taken place in our hearts. If you remember way back, and then I'm going to be done in just a moment. If you remember way back to the Garden of Eden, it said that man lived by God alone. It's just that he followed him. In other words, they were led by their soul. They were led by their heart. And then they ate from the tree of good of knowledge and evil. And what did they do in that moment? They went from a reality of living by their heart and their soul, and it moved upstairs, and we went to our minds. And then we became a lot like Jesus and a lot like God, and we had to make big decisions for ourselves. But the problem is, when we get to make those decisions, we can make them wrong because we're flawed. We're not like him. And so God's calling us to be like him, but there's a process that needs to take place in our minds. And if nothing makes sense tonight, don't worry about it. Have faith and trust God. Because our minds may need to catch up with the reality of what our hearts already know, that God is good and he will not fail me. And no matter what furnace I face, no matter what battle I go through, no matter what trials I've been through, he will restore me, he will bring me back. No matter what I've lost, if I've lost my family, if I've lost everything like Job, he will restore everything back to me because he's a faithful God and he cannot distrust. He cannot break trust. He cannot fail us. He is too good. He is too good for that. Can we stand and pray tonight? Verse 30 that we're just about to read, I'm going to read as we pray, is this. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They went from death to promotion. They went from a place of no hope to incredible potential and promotion. They went from no hope, almost like in the pits of hell, until they become kings of that place, to wherever they become in charge. And we've got to realize that even in those difficult places, even in those dark seasons, that God has an incredible plan that he's working out. And if we trust him, he's bringing us through. And so let's pray tonight. Maybe our question is this: do we need to put more trust in God? It seems like a silly question, but do we need to put more trust in God? Or maybe we just need to start to trust again. Maybe we need to put more trust in him. And here's really the question, and maybe really the heart of it. We need to put less trust in ourselves or less trust in others. Or maybe we're in another place where we can't trust God because we've got wrong thoughts of him or issues or things that have blocked our path. Maybe we need to trust God anew. Maybe we need to trust him again. Maybe we need to let him deal with our hurts, our regrets, and our failures. Lord, I thank you tonight that you're here. I thank you tonight, Lord, that you see our hearts, Lord. You see all the bruises. You see all the hurts. So many of us struggle to come to salvation because of unforgiveness. But in reality, what it is that we've got a deep wound in our heart and we don't know how to fix it. But the truth is this, that we cannot fix that hurt. We'll try to get other people to fix it, and we'll try to do all sorts of things, and we'll run away from it, we'll forget about it, we'll try to do everything to get away from it, but we can't fix it. And it'll always be there. But Jesus can fix it. And maybe we're here tonight and we've got brokenness in our heart and we've never ever come to know Jesus. Then the Lord wants to come and meet with us. Maybe we're here tonight and we never even thought of our sin before, but in this moment, for the first time, we've started to realize, wow, I'm a sinner and I need salvation. That's the truth, but Jesus is here to save us. He's so good. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in a furnace. You've just realized for the first time, I'm in a furnace. I never even knew I was in this. I feel trapped. I feel like I'm dying. I feel like I've no hope. But Jesus said, I'm right there with you. You just look to me. You just haven't found me yet. You just haven't asked for me yet. But I'm right here. Maybe you know nothing at all about this Jesus, but you've heard about him tonight and you just think, wow, he just sounds amazing. Would I be able to have him? Would I be able to ask him into my heart? He says, absolutely. He's been waiting for you. Maybe we're here tonight and we are Christians. We know Jesus. We've asked him into our hearts. But we've drifted from him. We've become cold. Our trust has got broken in him and we've trusted in other things and we just started to realize it, or maybe we know it completely. But the Lord wants to bring us back. So I want to give you an opportunity to respond tonight. And if any of those situations just touched your heart just in those last couple of moments, I want to just invite you to raise your hand and I'd love to pray with you from here. Amen. Let's just take a moment and we're just respecting everybody. Amen. Just if you want to, just raise your hand. We're going to pray together. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? If you want to just reaffirm your life to God, maybe you want to come to know him for the first time. I'm just excited about that. Anybody else tonight? We're going to pray in just a moment. Then I want to pray for some other things just after that for us who know the Lord. Lord, I thank you for those who just responded, whether to know you for the first time or to come back to you in a fresh way. But Romans 10 says this, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths, then Jesus is Lord. And so I pray tonight, Lord, for those to invite them into that conversation with you, Lord, to confess it, Lord, in their hearts, to confess their need of you and their want of you and their desire of you. And if they believe that and put their trust in you, then you'll make all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that. He makes all things new. And so, Lord, tonight, for those who are coming back to you or those who are coming for the first time, if we believe in you, we say yes to you, Jesus, right now. We believe in you, Lord. We confess our need for you. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us. And we say, Lord, take away our sins. Make us brand new. And then, Lord, give us the strength to follow after you. Give us the strength to surrender our lives to you. We know, Lord, as we would come to you just the way that we are, you would equip us with everything else after that. You would enable us. You would allow us to walk forward. Lord, I thank you tonight for those that you're saving and those who you're bringing back. Lord, I pray you just bless them in these moments and encourage them to keep walking and fighting the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. Jesus, you're wonderful. And then for those of us tonight, just if anything is spoken to our hearts, we would just absolutely love to pray with you. And if it would be okay, we'd love to invite you to the front because we just love to pray with you. And that's just because we love you. And friends just love to be around each other and they love to just be close to each other. So we would love to do that. We'd love to pray if you're maybe in a difficult place of how do I continue to trust God because I feel like I'm in such a hard season. Or I would love to get my trust back truly in God again because I really feel like tonight that my trust has been wavering and it's not as strong as it should be or could be. Or maybe you just look at the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and you say, I'd love to have faith like that. I'd love to be a man like that, or I'd love to be a woman like that. I'd love to be following after God like that. And God says, I love the desires of your heart and I'd love to bless you. And so I'm going to invite our team to come. So our team's going to come out. And it's not that we're special, but we just love Jesus and we'd love to bless you. So we're going to give you an Irish blessing if you would like that. And anything else, we would encourage you to come. So we're going to worship just for a few moments. And during that, please, just come. Come for any needs that you have. We'd love to meet with you. And we'd love to pray with you in Jesus' name. If you need healing in any form, we'd love to do that. We were praying with people this week, seeing people healed. We saw people saved this week just in Cape Town already. So we're excited for the things that God wants to do next, and you're part of that. So again, encourage you as Aaron leads us in some worship. Come, we'd love to pray with you. Would that be okay? So don't be shy. We promise we'll be super nice and super kind. Amen.